Have you ever considered that we are living in a unique time, that something world-changing is about to happen, and that it might concern you? If so, you're in the right place. Keep listening, and you'll hear thought-provoking views behind the news that point to a new and better future for all. Many people now sense that humanity is not alone. So consider this. If the Christ or the Buddha walked among us today as modern men, would we recognize them? What would they be saying? And most importantly, would we listen? Every Sunday on this program, Share International Radio will examine extraordinary events that are unfolding behind the headline news. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for. And now, welcome to this week's show.
Welcome to our listeners around the world. My name is Celito Pascual, podcasting from Seattle, Washington. And I want to thank my co-host, Diana Gold Holland, for a wonderful show last week with guest Betsy Whitfield. If you missed that, it's in our archives from January 17th. Betsy shares some beautiful stories, so make sure you check that out. Today, we have as a guest, I'm very honored to have our guest, he is an ordained Protestant minister who will describe the return of the Christ from an esoteric perspective. And on this program for the last dozen or so shows, we've been talking about the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher and the masters of wisdom. That is the same event that we would call the emergence of the reappearance of the Christ and the masters of wisdom, because we are talking about a great teacher, the eldest brother of humanity, Maitreya the Christ. And our guest is McNair Ezard. Again, as I said, ordained minister. He works in the nonprofit field. He's based in Asheville, North Carolina. Welcome, McNair.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for taking the time with us. So just to lay the groundwork here, when we're talking from the esoteric perspective about the return of the Christ, this is an event that corresponds to the expectation of the Jews for the Messiah. It relates to the Buddhists and their anticipation of the Maitreya Buddha. The Hindus are expecting Krishna, and Muslims are awaiting the Imam Mahdi. And many indigenous traditions are also expecting the return of a great teacher. Let's start with your personal experience of this story. You, as all of our guests prior to this show have been, are a student of the ageless wisdom teachings, and you have a master's in theology. Let our audience know, what was there a defining moment for you? You had to have a shift in thinking when you came across this information about the reappearance of the Christ. Was there a defining moment where you said, you know, this is true, this is worth sharing and telling people about?
Well, I didn't go from one viewpoint in terms of Orthodox Christianity to the embracing of this particular information about the reappearance of the Christ. But I suppose it was an end point after a progression where I had read and studied a lot of other teachings, and this information happened to come into my life. And, I mean, I can remember to the day when I read Benjamin Krem's first book, The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, and I read that book in just a span of a few days, and I thought, this really makes sense to me. There's just, you know, every now and then you come across something in your life, a book, a talk or something that just kind of sticks in your mind and touches your heart in some way, and that's what happened in this particular situation. I subsequently shared the book with some friends. I was living in Denver, Colorado at the time, and that was in the Christmas of 1980, and then the following summer, we went to hear Benjamin Krem give a talk in Anaheim, California. So it was kind of a progression, but not a very long progression, before I totally embraced this information and felt the call to do something with the information.
And what do you do today with the information? How do you share it with the public?
Well, I work as previous guests on your show do as well. I work as part of a group, both locally and nationally and internationally, a group of volunteers who have taken it upon ourselves to share this information on as wide a scale as possible and to make it known that the world teacher, the Christ to Christians, is in the world. And we put on free presentations, public presentations. We do information booths, write articles, and a lot of one-on-one communication with people we meet about the story.
So it's even likely that our audience may have come across you at a New Age Expo or attended one of your talks. Certainly there are thousands of people around the world doing the work that you're doing. And we'll go into more detail of what this story is about. I just want to direct our listeners to two things. We've mentioned Benjamin Krem. If you want to look that up, the last name is spelled C-R-E-M-E. And if you want to find more information, go directly to the main website, which is share-international.org. That's share-international.org. What is the purpose? Before we get into your background, McNair, what is the purpose? Why should we be telling people? Why should this what's the benefit of sharing this with other people? It's an unusual body of information, but like you said, and so many people have said on this program, it makes so much sense. What made sense to you, and what do you share first with people when you talk about this for the first time?
Well, what I share first is the necessity on the part of the listener, if they can, to try and keep an open mind. I mean, this is, to many people, this is information that they've never heard before, and it doesn't really fit in with a lot of worldviews out there. So I just ask, to whatever degree is possible, people try to keep an open mind, not to accept the information, not to reject it, but just to let the information sit, because those of us who are involved in this work feel like, as events unfold in the world, that this story will be proven true. But if people totally reject it, it makes it more difficult for them to accept Maitreya when he comes forward and to make sense of the information.
And certainly that's the purpose of this podcast. We illuminate what's happening in the world that corresponds with the Christ, Maitreya, the Christ priorities for remaking our political structures and our economic structures that honor humanity, honor humanity's divinity, as opposed to what is currently happening, as you well know, where we're seeing greed and competition and the denial of human divinity, human expression, human life in so many areas. Talk about how did you come to study theology? Was that something that was a part of your sensibility from the time of childhood? Were there things that you observed in the world that put you in that direction?
Well, I grew up Protestant Methodist in North Carolina. My parents were supportive and kind and generous people. They weren't overly conservative. They believed in the power of education and supported us, you know, in whatever we wanted to pursue in terms of education, that sort of thing. And then, you know, I wouldn't say there was anything unusual in my childhood. I mean, I was a typical believer, if there is such a one, but I believed in Jesus when I was a child and found comfort in the biblical teachings as I knew them to be at the time and as they were presented to me. But it wasn't until I read the biography of Edgar Cayce back in the early 70s, titled There Is a River, that I really became interested in the spiritual life. I started meditating, started reading more books about and by him, and also branched out into other areas like some Eastern teachings. And it gradually dawned on me that I wanted my avocation to be my vocation. Now, I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I knew I was interested in spirituality, and I wanted to find a way to make it my life's work. All I knew to do at the time was that I needed to attend seminary. I never had a lifelong goal as a child to become an ordained minister. I subsequently became one during and after seminary, but it wasn't a lifelong dream. But I couldn't think of any other way to pursue my vocation and avocation together, so I applied to seminary. And that's kind of how I got onto this path. Now, I didn't know what seminary would prepare me for. I just knew I needed to go.
And what was, just give us a context of what was going on in the world at the time, you know, being having a spiritual calling. We assume that you were seeing things in the world that didn't match what you perceived to be as spiritual. What was going on at the time that you...
It was the late 1970s, early 1980s when I was attending seminary. It wasn't a time of great political and economic upheaval. I mean, Jimmy Carter, I can't remember exactly when he was president, but, you know, I think for myself, when he was president, I felt a renewed sense of hope for the direction of America. Of course, that changed for me when Ronald Reagan took over and a more conservative bent was put on our political life. But there wasn't the upheaval and the division, at least I didn't sense it at the time, that we see now in the world.
Great. Well, we will continue after the break with McNair Ezard, and we'll talk about how you, McNair, came across the Ageless Wisdom teachings. Stay with us. We'll be here right after the break.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times.
Did you know that Share International Radio is more than just a podcast? If you're hungry for thought-provoking views behind the news, there may be a Share International event happening soon near you, providing a spiritual perspective you'll find nowhere else. To locate an event in your area, visit shareontheairradio.org. That's shareontheairradio.org. shareontheairradio.org.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on The Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
The cutting edge of conscious radio.
Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. We are Share on the Air Radio. I'm Cielito Pasquale talking with ordained minister McNair Ezard. McNair, my yes. next question for you. You read Benjamin Krem's book, Reappearance of the Christ. That was a significant book. A lot of people read that book. That was usually their first entree to this information. Let's jump right in. What are the biggest differences between what British author Benjamin Krem says about Christ's return and what is traditionally taught in Christian teachings?
Well, I'd say for me the biggest difference between Krem's information and what I grew up learning about was with this new information, humanity has a part to play in the Christ's return. And humanity has a part to play in the unfolding divine plan that he comes and he and the masters come to share with humanity. Now, in Christian teachings, I mean, there's a plan of God, but it's, you know, there's no way to know it, and it's pretty much tied up with you live a good life, and if you're good enough, you die and you go to heaven, and if you're not, you go to the other place. I mean, that was the extent of the plan as I knew it. It wasn't about the regeneration of the world, the saving of humanity from itself, you know, and the building of a brilliant world and golden civilization, which I understand this new information has. So I would say that we have a part to play in the plan and that there is a plan, and that another aspect of it is that the Christ comes in love and not in vengeance. I mean, there's a lot of talk in traditional Christianity about the vengeance of God and that Christ comes to separate people and take the believers with him up to heaven and that sort of thing. But the Christ now, we know, those of us who are involved in this work, know that he comes in love and that he's here for all people, not just for Christians, not just for believers, but he's here for everyone, non-believers alike. And also that we're not doomed to hellfire and damnation if we make mistakes and if we don't believe in him when he comes before the world or if we don't believe in the Christian teachings. There's still a path for people in other religions or no religions. And another aspect of the difference to me is that, you know, traditionally Christian teaching has been that when Jesus ascended after the resurrection, that he was sitting at the right hand of God. And we've always seen him as separate from humanity. But according to this information, the Christ never left us, that he's been with humanity all this time, working from behind the scenes. And that is, to me, is a very inspirational thought. And that he depends on us for the success of his mission. And he doesn't, and that, you know, we have a part to play in that mission to make it a success over the next number of years, the next 2,000 years. And the final thing I guess I would say is that he doesn't come alone. He comes with his group, that advanced group of his disciples, the Masters of Wisdom, who will be with us as well for the next 2,000 years. And in traditional Christian teaching, you know, pretty much Jesus was coming back and he was going to do it all himself and do the teachings himself, and that was it. So to me, this new presentation, Benjamin Krem's presentation, the Ageless Wisdom, whatever you want to call it, is more broad in scope, more encompassing, and more caring, and more loving, more realistic to me.
Talk about the term Christ, because in the esoteric tradition, it's a very different understanding, a different definition than the Christian definition of Christ.
Well, the Christ is not really, and this is hard for, I've found, for a lot of traditional Christian thinking people to accept, is that the Christ is really an office. It's not a name of a person. I mean, we've associated as a name, like Jesus Christ. That was Jesus was his first name, and Christ was his last name. But the Christ is really the name of an office. Well, an office of what? Well, that group of advanced individuals that have gone ahead of us on the evolutionary path and no longer have to stay on planet Earth or come to planet Earth unless they choose to. Fortunately for us, they do. A group of them has chosen to stay and help humanity. But that group of individuals is organized by, in terms of their evolution and their point in evolution. Now, the highest point in that evolution of that group is the office of the Christ. He's the head of that group of advanced individuals, the masters of wisdom, and the person, like, for instance, at the head of our government in the United States is the office of the president. And it's held for 4 or 8 years by a Republican or a Democrat. And then after that term is up, a new person enters into the office of the president. Well, it's the same with the head of the spiritual hierarchy. For the last 2,000 years, the person, the individual holding that office has been the Lord Maitreya, and he will be holding that office of the Christ, also known as the world teacher, for the next 2,500 years. The masters of wisdom look up to him as their teacher, their guru, if you will. But although he doesn't see himself as separate from anybody, but as a teacher, co-worker, a guide for the masters and for all humanity.
I want to quote from one of Maitreya's messages. If our audience goes to share-international.org, you will find a series of messages from Maitreya the Christ. In message number 10, he says, "Those who look for me in terms of my beloved disciple, the Master Jesus, will find his qualities in me. Those who look for me as a teacher are nearer the mark, for that is what I am." Kind of threw in some new folds in the story here because the Christ mentions the Master Jesus, and in traditional Christian understanding, Jesus Christ, it's one person.
And that's what's so fantastic about this story is that not only is the holder of the office of the Christ here, Maitreya, but also one of his most advanced disciples, the Master Jesus. And now, traditionally Christians think that Jesus is the one and only Son of God, but he isn't. According to the Ageless Wisdom teachings, Jesus is a Son of God, but you and I are sons and daughters of God. The only difference between Jesus and Maitreya is that they have perfected themselves, learned everything that there is to learn in this schoolhouse earth, and no longer have to come to Earth to reincarnate on Earth, but they do so out of choice. And not only is Maitreya here, but the Master Jesus is also in the world. So there will be, we're told that there will be individuals in Christianity who will relate to Jesus still and will not necessarily relate to the world teacher, the Christ, in terms of the way we're speaking. And that's fine. They don't really care who they relate to. What they're concerned about is if we implement the teachings, that we demonstrate our divinity, and that we work to save the planet and save ourselves.
And just to be even more specific, implementing the teachings is about implementing the principle of sharing in the world such that we abolish all hunger, that every man, woman, and child has access to health care, has safe shelter, access to food, proper food, and education. And in those ways, that is fulfilling the plan or Maitreya's mission, which is one and the same with the great plan for humanity.
And it's such a simple teaching. I mean, sharing, Jesus talked about it. You know, when people asked him, what should we do with these people? And he said, if you have two coats, give one to somebody that needs it. I mean, I'm simplifying, but he was talking about sharing. I mean, if we don't learn to share, we're doomed. There's no hope for humanity because sharing, without sharing, we're never going to have justice. And there's so much injustice in the world, and through the process of sharing, we can reestablish justice in the world. And if we don't have justice, we're never going to have peace. So it's really the first step into creating a peaceful civilization.
And the way you describe this event, McNair, it really is about each one of us and all of us collectively redefining how we participate in the world, that the well-being of humanity depends on each of us being involved in a little bit more than just our own personal lives, especially now. And I think many, many people are responding to that sense of stepping forward, of making a difference. And I want to get our next topic kind of rolling here, but we'll be coming close to a break too. I think the first thing that people hesitate about is when we talk about masters, talking about them being advanced. And I wonder if you would like to talk a little bit about reincarnation and what that means to be a master exactly.
Well, and this is one of the things I first found out about through the Edgar Cayce teachings was the fact of reincarnation. And, it made so much sense to me. It brought these kind of loose threads in the traditional Christian teaching that I could never put together. And then when I found out about reincarnation, I said, wow, this really makes sense. And reincarnation, we're all of us, you and me and everyone on this planet, whether we realize it or not, are on an evolutionary journey. From the time of early animal man up to where we are now, we have incarnated over and over again many thousands of times, gradually manifesting more of that innate divinity that we're all created with originally. And as we come towards the end of the evolutionary path, we step onto the initiatory path. It sounds like you've got a break coming up.
Yes, we do.
So
hold that thought. It's a wonderful thought, and we will be back. If you are on Facebook, message us at Share on the Air Radio, and the question will be forwarded to me. Please post your questions. Share on the Air Radio North America on Facebook. We'll be back after the break.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Share International Magazine is unique in the world today. It draws connections that make sense between headline news and spiritual changes unfolding now on a global scale, and explains the forces driving those changes. It may be the message of hope you have been waiting for. Investigate for yourself at shareontheairradio.org. That's shareontheairradio.org. ShareOnTheAirRadio.org.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Are you ready to shift your energy, consciousness, and limiting beliefs? Join me, Shefali Burns, every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Shifting with Shefali here on Om Times Radio. Shift the blocks, limitations, and negative energies that have kept you from experiencing a life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness. Are you ready to shift with Shefali? Are you ready to shine your brilliance?
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
We're continuing our conversation on reincarnation as an aspect of the story of the reappearance of the Christ with McNair Ezard. So you were saying, McNair, that Each one of us is on a path of evolution, a journey of evolution.
Right.
And we're...
Yes, I was. You know, each of us, we start out with a pretty low level of conscious awareness, and as we reincarnate over and over again, we grow more conscious, more aware. We learn how to create more good karma, which is karma is tied up with the law of reincarnation, and we gradually become perfect. Now, once we have manifested our total divinity within and have learned everything we have to learn, we don't have to come back, reincarnate on planet Earth anymore.
Let me illustrate what perfect looks like, if I may. Perfect, I like to explain it this way, that we become completely harmless in thought, harmless in word, and harmless in action. It seems like unbelievable we can get to that point, but we eventually will.
Right, right. And that's the quality of the world teacher, the Christ, the Master Jesus, and the other masters that are in the world. That's the quality that we will see from them, is total harmlessness and total love. And that's what the goal is for us. The only difference, as I might have said earlier, between these masters and the Christ and us is that they have perfected themselves, and we are still in the process of doing that. But we need the process of reincarnation to give us the opportunity to progress and to perfect ourselves, to make up for our transgressions and so forth.
And the masters have experienced every nuance of emotion, of joy and sorrow that we have experienced. They've been through every anything that a human being can experience, the masters of wisdom have experienced as well. So to think that they might be coming back to judge us or to, lecture us in any way, that's not what they're here to do. It's their demonstration of their divinity that will inspire in us our divinity. And that's really what I think the primary reason we have these great teachers emerging onto the world stage. And I want to touch on an idea that we often hear in New Age circles, the idea of Christ consciousness. But they are emerging onto the world stage to evoke in us our own divine gifts to remake the world. It's an extraordinary process, and it makes so much sense.
Yes, I've heard it quite a bit. You know, well, we don't need masters of wisdom in the world. We don't need the Christ to return or the Master Jesus. The birth of the Christ consciousness is being manifested in people today. Well, it is being manifest, but, you know, we're in a very crisis situation. And if the Christ consciousness had manifested fully in us, why are we destroying the environment? Why are we still killing each other in war? Why are there millions of people starving to death or living without access to clean water? Sometimes we just need help and inspiration to show us how to manifest and put into practice that Christ consciousness, which many of us are becoming more aware of. We just need that extra push sometimes, and we have it now, and we need it.
We absolutely need it. The world is in peril, and it doesn't serve any purpose to deny that, which is what I love about this information as well. It's very realistic. It doesn't separate me from what's going on in the world. In fact, I'm looking at message number 10 again. Maitreya, the Christ, says, "Nothing separates you from me." And soon many will realize this. "I am with you and in you. I seek to express that which I am through you. For this I come." Beautiful. I'm just going to say that again. "I am with you and in you. I seek to express that which I am through you. For this I come." And he also says, "Be ready to see me soon. Be ready..." Oh my goodness, my handwriting. I copied this down not very well. Be ready to hear my words, to follow my thoughts, to heed my plea. And I think Maitreya in this message, Maitreya the Christ, is also realistic and encouraging as well about what's happening in the world. Why don't we touch on, do you think there are Christian denominations already aligned with Maitreya's teachings or beginning to speak along the lines of, and you know, I'm many are doing great service around the world.
I would say there are, you know, people within every denomination, some are more aligned with Maitreya's teachings and some are not. The more open-minded and progressive folks, I would say, are probably, speaking generally, are more aligned, and the more conservative and backward-thinking people will have more difficulty. But speaking generally, the teachings, Annette, about the love of God, you know, if they have these teachings at their core, the service to one another, teachings about sharing, about being involved to change the world, about self-sacrifice on behalf of others, of detachment, taking care of God's creation, you know, the earth, these are in alignment with the teachings of the Christ as he comes in the 21st century.
And I know many atheists who are aligned with Maitreya's teachings, albeit not consciously, but certainly they're working very hard to bring about change in the world.
Well, you don't have to be religious to be spiritual, and the spiritual life can be lived in any area of human endeavor, and it can be lived whether you're religious or not.
Absolutely. Let's talk about belief. Belief versus faith. That comes up a lot in my conversations with people on this. Where do you think that fits in here? We always say, don't believe what we say. Have an open mind. Is there any other distinctions you'd like to make around that?
Well, belief to me has to do with our conditioning. You know, from the time we're born, we start being conditioned by those close to us. In terms of what we think and what we believe, and later on as we grow up, we get conditioned by our church or our temple or a mosque, and we get conditioned by our educational system, our college, our friends, and so on. Belief has to do with the thought processes of the mind. But the thing about belief is that belief can change. You know, you may believe something when you're 15 years old that later on, when you're 30 years old, experience has shown you is not true, or you no longer choose to believe it. Experience is something else, and inner experience is something else. Experience can back up your belief, it can reinforce your belief, it can tell you that your belief is true, but just because you believe something doesn't mean that it's necessarily true. Belief is just a concept, part of the thought processes that go on in our head, but they're not necessarily real. There's a book that I read that Benjamin Kremen recommended years ago, and I think he mentions it in his first book, a book by MacDonald Bain called Beyond the Himalayas, and the sequel to that, The Yoga of the Christ. And he talks about, his teachers in that book talk about that what we believe is not necessarily true. It's just a thought process, part of the thought process. What we realize to be true comes from our own inner experience of something. Because when you have an inner experience of something like the experience of the reappearance of the Christ and this information, no matter what somebody says to you, you know it's true because your involvement and your experience has told you that it's true. And as Krem has said many times, there's no gainsaying that.
And belief, when to just merely believe something because some authority says so, or because there's emotions attached to it, one, I know from my experience, one runs the risk of how shall I put it? The emotions will dissipate. So there's a constant having to maintain I have to look like a good Christian, so I have to do certain things, is one way of believing. But an inner knowing something as an inner truth doesn't require presenting an image of being a believer. Does that make that? I'm realizing that as we're talking. I don't know if it makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, but, just because a person may believe something doesn't mean it's true. I mean, we're all taught, you know, those of us in Christianity or whatever religion it might be, we're all taught certain basic tenets and doctrine and stuff, but it doesn't mean they're true. They're the result of somebody else's experience or thinking process, and we either take it upon ourselves and adhere to it or we don't. But it's our inner experience that tells us if something is true or not.
And I will share, when I first heard this information, it made so much sense to me, and I was so excited, and I shared it with people closest to me, and they looked at me and they said, "How do you know this isn't a cult?" And their reaction was so stinging that I had to pause and think, well, how do I know this isn't a cult? And I came to the conclusion that I would just pretend that it was true and see how it shows up in my life. And I figured that if it wasn't true, if it wasn't real, if it was just someone's idea for self-promotion, it would fall away from my life. And that was, 28 years ago. And it is an inner knowing. There's no anyone can say anything against this, and I know my own experience. And I don't need for people to believe what I say. But there are people sensing that something is up in the world, and when they hear this, they're so appreciative, and they want to know more, and they're asking more questions. And that is what's gratifying about sharing this information.
And I mean, this to me, this is not a cult, because one reason is because free will is never infringed. People have the choice of believing or not believing, being active in it or not being active, but it's all based on free will.
Then that's a beautiful law of life. We will continue in our last segment, continuing with the esoteric perspective on the return of the Christ. Join us after the break.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you on a spiritual path and want a quick reference guide? Look no further. The booklet Ageless Wisdom Teaching introduces key spiritual concepts, including reincarnation, meditation, and initiation. Download the book free online. Visit shareontheairradio.org for details. That's shareontheairradio.org. ShareOnTheAirRadio.org.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Live with medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Welcome back to Share on the Air Radio North America. I am with McNair Ezard, ordained minister. Ordained Protestant minister, sharing a very thought-provoking perspective on the return of the Christ. I'm thinking about what we would like to share in this last segment. I'd like to make sure that we let our listeners know how they can play a part in the emergence of Maitreya the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. I'd also like to... Well, if there's anyone listening right now who is hearing this information for the first time, has had a profound experience that you think might be connected to this, feel free to send us an email at info@shareontheairradio.org. If you have any questions, if you're shy about posting to Facebook or you don't do Facebook, send us an email there, info@shareontheairradio.org. Because many, many people have experienced the Christ or experienced the Master Jesus, whether or not they're aware of this information, Maitreya has appeared. Has made countless appearances to large groups of not just Christians, but has appeared to large groups of Muslims and Buddhists and Jews. And the only event that we have recorded of one of these dozens of appearances was recorded by CNN. And the Kenya Times, where Maitreya appeared before 5,000 Christians in Nairobi, and there were spontaneous healings that occurred. The event lasted all of 20 minutes, and this was written up and witnessed by the editor of the Kenya Times, and we have that information on share-international.org. Hopefully we'll be able to post that on our Facebook page, because that is not just a single event. It happened many times. And perhaps we have someone in the audience who might have been at one of those meetings. So drop us a line if you are willing to share your story. McNair, We hear about, you know, here in the U.S., I think one of the major magazines did a poll and discovered that 40% of Americans believe in miracles and angels. How let's talk about that and how Maitreya has been appearing or demonstrating his presence in the world through miracles.
Well, it's quite... You know, I believe even during Jesus' time before that miracles happened, and it's not unusual for, you know, miracles and unusual occurrences to surround the coming of a great spiritual teacher into the world. And this particular time, I mean, not everybody needs miracles to believe, but when miracles do happen, they can serve to uphold the faith of the faithful. They are a sign that something extraordinary is going on in the world. And indeed, over the last 20, 25 years, there's been a whole host of different miracles for religious people, for non-religious people, for Christians, for Hindus, and so on, happening, all a result of Maitreya and some of the masters taking action to create these miracles in the world.
One of my favorite stories is the story of the vanishing hitchhiker. There's a very beautiful positive stories, and then there's the kind of the urban legend that's a little darker, which those stories I don't quite believe. But the vanishing hitchhiker, perhaps some of our audience may know that story or may have had an actual experience where a driver is going along the highway and sees a hitchhiker. Feels an impulse to pull over where ordinarily perhaps they wouldn't, and offers a ride to the hitchhiker. The person gets into the back seat and they're in a normal conversation, and then suddenly the passenger says, "Did you know the Christ is in the world?" And the driver's a little startled, looks up in the rearview mirror, and the hitchhiker has vanished. And a lot of state patrol people, I think out in the South and on Long Island in New York State, reported that because the state patrol would see a car pulled over and then they'd come over to make sure the driver was okay, and then they'd hear this extraordinary story.
That's a fantastic story. I mean, this has happened not only in America, but also, I believe, in New Zealand and Australia. So, yeah, it's a worldwide phenomenon.
All over the world. In fact, when I was living in New York City, I actually placed an ad in the back of a paper. Back when there was no Facebook, no internet, I put a short ad in the back of the paper, you know, your free paper. You look at the classified ads on the back page, and asked for stories of experiences of a friendly stranger telling a story and seemingly vanishing. And in New York City, a lot of people, I know there's probably a lot of people who've had that experience and haven't shared that story with anyone, of meeting usually a homeless person with luminous eyes, a loving countenance, who gives a brief, just says something very briefly, and which usually startles the person. They keep walking and then they look back, and the homeless person has apparently vanished much faster than just walking away. So if any of our listeners have an experience of an unusual, loving, unique stranger that you cannot forget and you remember forever, do send us an email, info@shareontheairradio.org. Why don't we wrap up this segment and talk a bit about transmission meditation, which you do, and you are in the transmission meditation group with my prior guest, Ira Palmer, who shared some great stories on January 3rd. Talk about transmission meditation and how that is a way to participate in the emergence of Maitreya the Christ.
Yeah. Well, transmission meditation was initiated by Benjamin Krem's master, as Krem has gone around the world talking about the return of the world teacher, the Christ. His master has also given to the world this fantastic form of group service called transmission meditation. And I should say that you don't need any experience meditating. There's no dues. There's no membership. But for those of us who are called to serve, who want to serve in some way, this is an easy way to serve. Now, it's not easy to sit and meditate for very long, but the more you do it, the longer you can meditate. But it's based on the idea that the masters are always sending their energy out to humanity. And when they have these groups available to them, they send their energy through these groups. And through this process, the energy is stepped down and made more accessible for people who are working for the welfare and the benefit of humanity. Now, the groups don't send it any particular place in the world, but the masters transform the energy gets transformed from the masters, and the masters send it out into the world where it's needed. And all we, the participants, are called to do is come together at a certain time, 2-3 times a week, even one time a week, and say the great invocation, which invokes the energy from the masters. And then we sit silently with the attention focused at the Ajna Center between the eyebrows, and you are participating in the transmission meditation. It's not a guided meditation. It's not a meditation where one gets messages and there's no music playing. But just by simply sitting there and staying aligned, holding the focus high at the Ajna Center, you participate in the transmission and become a beneficiary, in a way, of these tremendous energies that are flowing through you and the group. Now, it's not done in conflict with anybody's personal meditation or service activity or religious teaching. In fact, it can only enhance whatever meditation you do or service activity you are already involved in. It's more like an adjunct to your other spiritual work. And it's a fantastic means for spiritual growth, although that's not the primary purpose of it. You do achieve spiritual growth by participating in it, and a lot of spiritual growth, but its primary purpose is to serve, to make yourself available to serve and to work, to be a mechanism through which this energy can reach humanity from the Masters.
And I'll encourage our audience to visit transmissionmeditation.org, where you can view a video and find a group near you that meets near you. In our last minute, we're always at down to the last minute, to talk about the Day of Declaration. Would you like to say a few words on that to wrap up, McNeil?
Well, I would. I would say just keep your eyes and your ears open, because this is a day unlike any day in human history that we will be alerted to beforehand. And it's a day when the Christ will be invited to come before the whole world on the linked television networks of the world, and we will see him on television. Now, the fantastic thing about that day is that tremendous miracles will happen. He will embrace all of humanity with his love, and that will begin, really, in earnest, our work for Maitreya and for the Masters to change the world when he openly declares himself before the world on the Day of Declaration.
McNair, thank you so much for taking the time with us. Please visit us on Share on the Air Radio North America on Facebook. Share your thoughts and tune in next week. We will talk about Jesus as a refugee. Rory McGowan joins Diana Gold Holland to describe the refugee sponsoring program.